Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ann McNeil, the Master Wealth Builder, and Stan Callaway and Steve White welcoming you to podcast number 2 for our special show entitled I Am Riviera Beach. And this is an interview whereby we are talking about the fact that we're each born and raised in the beautiful city of Riviera Beach, Florida, and we decided to come together and host a podcast each week highlighting the benefits of being born and raised in the city and how excited we are to bring to you others who have been born and raised in the city of Riviera Beach. And so with that, we're going to continue to welcome and be very excited to have you join us. And first, I'd like to introduce again Mr. Dan Callaway, which many know, but he's going to tell a little bit about yourself. And for me, born and raised in the city back in the, well, I don't have to tell everything, but long time ago, not as long as Dan Callaway, but we want to continue to welcome Steve White and Dan Callaway to our awesome show. Good afternoon, Steve. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Once again, it's a pleasure to be here with you, and I'm excited. And, of course, rubbing elbows with Steve, that's always a pleasure. I always remember I was born in Riviera 2 years ago, right on S Avenue. It was Acorn Boulevard. I love this town, and there's many more. Most of the people I was reared with, they're all gone. I'm just like the last of the Mohegans. But I'll do my best to make sure the history of Riviera flourish and live long, long, long on.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that in terms of the history, because one of the things that I have decided, by talking with you and Steve, and just giving some thought to purpose and vision and why God allowed the three of us to come together to enlarge the vision of what's possible in a small city, but a city that has done so very much for so many, starting with each of us. And as a result of that, I've made a commitment here recently to really look at what more can I do, what more can we do as we share this message. And so one of the things I committed actually this week to do is to become a part of the Historical Society for Palm Beach County. And with that, that would enable me to have a voice into how our history is written. And so already we're having a lot of people that have already started joining us. And I'd like to go to Dan, to you, and then to you, Steve. We talked about some of the categories of the individuals who we are going to have join us each week. And we started off by talking about those who are educators from the city. And then, Steve, if you want to mention a couple, and Dan, if you want to mention a couple of the categories, those individuals who have made a mark in these different areas.
Well, I'll start, Stevie. I think that we should go into, after we talk about and with the educators, which is the most important thing. The mind is something that we gotta keep cultivating. We'll go with the business people, because that's part of being educated, to make sure you earn a decent living. And I think that law enforcement, the elected officials, the athletes, and, of course, the ministers, the reverend, the religious field. Okay, Steve.
No, I think you hit on a lot of the categories. I think with business, with the ministers, with people who've gone on to achieve, you know, high levels of success in the corporate world, I think, and the athletes as well. I think all of these are different, you know, categories or areas that we want to explore. But as we were saying before, the most important thing is as we deal with these people and explore, you know, their success, or even for those who have experienced failures, is really getting into, you know, the whys and the hows of how they achieved. And maybe even, again, like I said, even if they had setbacks, you know, what were some of the causes of the setbacks? How do they respond to it? Because I think what we want people to walk away from is really getting some insight. and getting the kind of insight that will impact their lives. For instance, if it's young people that's listening and we're interviewing or talking about people who've had great success, then the young people should walk away with an idea of how did they achieve that success? You know, what barriers did they overcome? And what motivation did they have? Things of that nature, so that and to be able to see that they are capable of achieving the same type of success, that they're not limited because they are products of Riviera Beach, but actually that they're given a certain advantage because they're coming out of a community like Riviera Beach. I think, you know, this is what we want to really be able to share with the listening audience.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
I think you're right, Steve. And one of the most important things, you can't win until you learn how to lose. Failure make, if people handle failure and go and learn from their failure, they'll be more successful in their second effort. Quitters never win and winners never quit. So we have to use that and get that to the young people that where you were born and reared at doesn't mean that will limit you from where you're trying to go. You got to take lemons and make lemonade. That just all to it.
I agree.
Well, I just heard something right before we came on the show today. I was listening to a documentary with my daughter Ione, and it was about Black West Side of Chicago. This teacher took a group of Black guys from the gang and put them in a rowing club. They did very well in the rowing club, and then they came back about 20 years later, reunited, decided to do it over again. Now, some had gone to jail and just had different things happen in their life. But one of them made a statement that said losing, and you just reminded me of this, Dan, when you made that comment. He said, you know, because they talked about the fact that, you know, they were 80 pounds overweight and all of these things, and they had to literally take a year to get in shape to row again, to win. But the reason they were doing it was to show what could happen in their neighborhood in the west side of Chicago. And I sat there and it reminded me so much of our city. And what's happened, how the negative can be just run rampant. But the guy said this, it made me think, he said, you know, losing is temporary. But your self-talk and what you say to yourself about the loss is forever. And when, Dan, when you said come back, and this is what we learn in sport, you know, you just keep coming back and persisting until you win. And so winning may not always be on the field, because that was the point of the story. Now, they didn't win as teenagers. They were just about to win the race, and one of the guys caught a cramp in his leg, and he couldn't row. And as a result of that, they didn't win the race, but they learned from that experience, came back 20 years later, right? They're in their 40s now. Came back 20 years later and became winners. They connected with the police department, rode with the police. It just began to change how the outcome ended up. And then eventually they did win. But my point in sharing the story, as I sat there and I listened and thought about what we're embarking upon here, they seem like just something so small. But it really is very powerful when you think about the long-term impact we can have by bringing successful people back in, like Steve said, and also those who didn't do so well, to talk about why.
That is true.
And what happens and what you can do to make a difference. So I want to go back to some of the areas. We talked about education. We talked about the religious. We talked about the athletes. And what were some of the others?
Business.
Business, yes.
Business,
you know, entrepreneurship, those who've succeeded in the corporate world, those who've succeeded in building their own businesses, those are other areas that we want to explore.
And then we're going to, if we portray everything going to be roses, then we're missing the boat. I think, Ann, you said something not too long ago that I need to go and find a a couple of guys who fell behind the drug dealers, had to go off to the prison or something like that. And they in the reentry program, now they can come back and tell their story. That story need to be told because that may stop a lot of people from traveling down that same road that they started on and they wouldn't listen. Because normally when you get into things like that, only two things can happen. Either you go to jail or go to the graveyard, one of the two, because it's so dangerous out there right now, people fighting for a territory and shooting and killing. And the other day I was with a group, Steve didn't make it. The police chief had us, the same group, Steve, when we were talking 2 weeks ago with him.
Right.
He want us all to join in and help stop with this shooting and the crime. We got to put a concerted effort to stop all the shooting in Riviera. Enough is enough. We're going to do that. And the only way we can do that is we get with the police officers. They must change their attitude. They must be people-friendly. And therefore, the community will give them some information to get the bad boys. We got to stop covering up because we know the grandmother, the grandfather, and allowing them to keep shooting and killing each other. Because when they start shooting all those bullets, just like not too long ago, the little kid, they were shooting at the daddy or something, and the little kid got hit. We got to stop it. It's a collective effort from all the citizens. And we will bring sometime some of the guys who've gone through that, like some of the former S Avenue gang, the Wild Bunch or whatever like that, who transformed their life and now they're doing well because they listened and was welcome to get a job and to give a second chance in life. That's all we need to be trying to do, give them a second chance because God gave us a second chance.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I spent this weekend with a friend of mine who both of you know. I won't call his name because I didn't get his permission to talk about it. But he grew up with us, was one of the best athletes, came through all of your programs, Mr. Calloway, got caught up in drugs and everything. But, of course, now he's been able to turn his life around. And just, you know, even this weekend, you know, we talked about, you know, what he went through, but then also what it took for him to finally get tired and turn his life around. And now, you know, he's living a great life now, but he had to go through some things. But, you know, and our conversation was about the mindset, the determination, the commitment he made to making, you know, the decision to turn his life around. And really, in one sense, to draw on the same kind of commitment and dedication that he had brought to athletics, he had to bring that to his personal life, you know, just that same never give up kind of an attitude he had to bring to his personal life, and he had to overcome those things, the drugs and the things that was tearing him down. And so, again, like I said, that's what we can show people is that, yeah, they're people that others know about. There are people in this community or came from this community that we know have had serious falls, but they also got back up. And they can talk about, you know, what it took for them to get back up. And like I said, for many of them, they drew on that same mindset, that same dedication, that same toughness that they brought to sports or whatever else it is that they were involved in. They brought that same mindset to overcoming adversity. And it can show other people that they can do the same thing.
If I can interject one other thing, there's a his name is Hudson. We call him Lolly. Lolly ended up playing for the Globetrotters. He didn't get a chance to go to the NBA. And now he's up in the Orlando area as a deputy sheriff. And he comes in down here with the councilman, and they put on this big thing where you bring in all the music and the people out there around at the convention center down at the marina, and thousands of people. The reason why I'll have him to give his story now, he was born right up in Monroe Heights. And I remember when he was in the gym, he didn't have, his parents couldn't even buy him tennis. Because he come back and remind me I was the guy that bought his tennis. And just like, and I'll tell you this, Beware doesn't mind me telling you that. He's an entertainer. He's a disc jockey. And he was one. He always said, you know, you had to buy my tennis. I said, well, you wore them well. I think that when you help someone out, you don't expect them to come and help you out or give you something back. You help, you hope that they will go and help someone else out when they get in a position to help them. And that's what that thing that Martin Luther King taught us. He said when he walks through a door, he reached back and grabbed someone's hand, and he pulling that person with him, and he used Abernathy at the time being when he was telling us this. And Abernathy would reach back and pull someone else. I think that we, the people in the past, was more to do that than right now. That's what we got to go back on. See, it's that I got mine, you go get yours. Now, we owe a moral obligation to help our fellow man. And one thing I know, because all of you know Cecil Ralford. Cecil Ralford might have been the best big man basketball player ever left Riviera and probably Palm Beach County. Now, of course, Derek Harper and Laverne Todd and a lot more established a great professional career, but they wasn't a big man. They were guards and forwards. In 1972, I carried 32 boys, like the Conrad Jones, Derek Wallace, and we got two lawyers, Malcolm Cunningham Jr. He was on the junior team at the time being. They love to tell the story that for 5 to 7 days we chartered a bus, and I had Reverend Burroughs as a minister on the trip. He was working for the city, and we didn't live in hotels then. We lived in the people's homes. We didn't have enough money to be living in hotels then. I had to put those kids in different homes, and I had three of them living with me and Richard Sims, who grew up here in Riviera, right on R Avenue on 34th Street. He was living in Hartford, Connecticut. Now, we won the Bill Russell basketball tournament. The reason why I'm telling you this, and it wasn't so much about winning the tournament, it was giving the exposure and the experience of seeing another part of the world. We went all the way from Riviera, Hartford, Connecticut. We were gone for 6.5 days, and half of those kids got scholarships. They had 14 major college coaches. Lou Konosecki, who coached at St. John, saw Cecil Ralford play, and he asked me, who is that kid? And I told him he was going to Kentucky State. Coach Wright, Alvin Wright, was his coach in high school at Kennedy at the time being. But I sent him on to St. John in Queens, New York, and he ended up being drafted to play for the Phoenix Sun. Now, he didn't make it on the level that his younger brother, Richard Ralford, who I sent to the University of Michigan and won the most valuable player in the European League 4 times, made a great living. And I think that some of those guys we will have on the program, because nobody was looking to go to the NBA or the Major League Baseball teams or the football league like Lamar Paris, and of course we'll have him, Otis Anderson, and of course the most successful story out of all is Anthony Carter, because Anthony Carter didn't weigh 160 pounds when he came out of school, and to go to a major university like the University of Michigan with 7 siblings, his family didn't have money enough to buy a bus ticket to Jupiter, Molesco, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Those stories need to be told because they are our own. I think that what the guy, the big guy, the mailman's son, and his
Thompson.
Mother was a
Thompson.
Yeah, that's right. What is that company?
He had been at Microsoft. You had mentioned before.
Microsoft. Yeah. And I think that he'll come back and tell his story. See, everybody's not going to work out, but success is measured through the eyes of the beholder. Our host, our creator of this program, the greatest story in the world will be told by Ann McNeil. I can tell you that right now. Because I remember when she was 8 and 9 and with a little brother. She's a cheerleader. A brother was a tremendous baseball player and everything. They grew up, and most of all, she's back here hiring people. She mentioned about last week how many people she had hired. And every time she hires somebody and they getting a check, that keeps them off the street, taking care of their family, because it's a moral obligation. We need to take care of home first. I think that this opportunity to have this type of program will open a lot of eyes, and I hope that it materializes and may even make a movie out of Ann and you, Steve, because I'm so proud of both of you, because I had you all when you all were kids, and that makes me feel well, real well, because that I'm like the grandfather now. 82 years of age, and you all had the audacity to invite me to be a part of this. Oh, I'm just laughing my way all the way to the bank. So this is beautiful.
Well, you know, if I can just say something real quickly, I think the point that you touched on, Mr. Calloway, that I don't want to go by us, and that is that the fact that we have really an obligation to give back and to help others. And that's one of the things that Riviera Beach taught us, my generation and your generation, that we came out of the village, as we talked about last week, and that village taught us that we all looked out for each other and we helped each other and we helped the other ones come along behind us. And I think that one of the things that we really want to do through this program and just in general is for young people to understand the value of that, because a lot of young people have missed those life lessons because the village is not as intact as it was, for instance, in my generation. And so we need to make sure that the young people understand that this is our culture, really. This is how we live, that we do give back and help each other. It's something that we just do naturally, you know, and that we have an obligation to do that. And I think that's one of the things that we definitely want young people to know, because the world that a lot of the younger generations is growing up in teaches them to be much more selfish, in my opinion, teaches them to think more just of themselves because of the examples that they see. And I think that we need to let them know that, no, we come from a tradition of people giving back and looking back and helping the people behind them to move forward, and that's how we're going to continue to move forward. And that's one of the life lessons that Riviera Beach gave us, was that village mentality where we looked out for each other.
Well, and if I can echo something about that, what is most important, what you were telling me and the listeners and everything like that, when I was a boy living right there, 3009 S Avenue, it was Acorn Boulevard Road then, all the people on S Avenue, when I would go down to Miss McGaney's store right there on 34th and S Avenue, and go to church at Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church, which is the oldest church in Riviera, 97 years of age, the doors of most of the houses was never latched. You walk right on in there, and they would be looking through the screen. They would say to the Callaway boy, "You Callaway boys, come on in here." And they got food on the stove. Now, they shared everything. I used to ask my mother, I said, "Mama, why would people want to always give us food? They think we don't have food at home." But that was the custom. See, right now we live behind all walls. We barricade ourselves, because we have forgotten about the village. It takes a village to rear a child. And I think that if we don't do anything, we do that and convey that to the world or the community, the philosophy of the people in Riviera. Riviera has always been family-oriented, and we got to go back to that. And that's what the new chief of police want all us to gather with him and stop the crime, stop the shooting. We don't want to be like Chicago and a lot of places where everybody's afraid to come out of the house. Education, what we are doing with you, Steve, as the director of our tutorial program, and I must say that because I know that's your heart and what you want to do because you're an educator. But the first person that sent a check to pay the instructors was Ann. She didn't even blink. I know she doesn't want me to be talking about it, but that goes a long ways, and I tell people everywhere I go. And now we finna get together with the law enforcement and start the police athletic league. They asked me to put it together like I did 40 years ago with the sheriff's office. And we're going to do it and get it back here because that means the police is working with the kids and the kids are getting to know the police officers, know that they're not the enemy, and the police officers get an idea that kids, especially from the Stony Brook area and all these other people, that because where they live doesn't mean they're bad people. We just have to do that.
I agree.
We
haven't heard from Ms. McNeil.
Listen, I just said that I'm sitting here listening as if I'm one of the listeners, as if I forgot one of the hosts, because this is taking me back so far that I really think that this is the beginning of something very special, and we want to thank all of our listeners that are listening live to us actually right now, but we also want to thank those who are going to be listening in the future, and if you know of anybody that is from Riviera Beach. And for those of you that know Yolanda Cass Jackson, that's a part of how this started for me. A few years ago, I ran into her, and she said, what's in the water in Riviera Beach? I said, what do you mean? She said, do you know this person from Riviera Beach? I said, no. She said, do you know this person? I said, no. And she thought, I knew of the people, but I did not know them. She said, yeah, all of you are from Riviera Beach, and all of you are doing wonderful things, and it's surprising you don't know each other. And that just hit home for me to say, not only is it surprising, it's shameful. But we all, you know, not all of us, but I think oftentimes when we're busy, whatever that means, we think that somebody should do something. I'll say me. I usually think somebody should do something. And God has a way of walking me down and say, no, why don't you do something? You had the idea, you had the urging or the unction of that thing in your gut, in your spirit. Why don't you do something? You know, I always say the same thing to God. I'm too busy. You know, I got this and this and this and this and this. And then he reminds me, you know, he gives me the same 24 hours that everybody else has. We each get to choose moment by moment what we'll do. Now, this show is 30 minutes. What is 30 minutes when it comes to changing somebody's life? And when you think about what we're talking about doing and what we're embarking upon, I believe the show will eventually grow to be much larger. But this is just a drop in the bucket compared to what we can do when we begin to bring a lot of these people on. So we want to continue to ask everybody that's listening that if you know of anyone from Riviera Beach or if you're from Riviera Beach and you'd like to participate in the show, over time, we'll get to set up, you know, some different platforms and social media to follow us and things like that. But for right now, you can reach out. Dan, you want to give your phone number, Steve? You can give yours, and I'll give mine so that people have a way to connect in terms of expressing their interest.
Okay, mine is 561-531-9184. That's my cell. My home phone number has always been listed. 848-4991, ever since 1953. This phone is always listed because I believe that somebody may be in trouble and they may call me 2 o'clock in the morning because they believe in I'll figure out a way to help them out of whatever disaster they're in.
Okay, let me get that number again. I'm actually putting it in this podcast.
531-9184 is my cell, and my home number is 561-848-4991.
4991 is the home number.
That's right. Landline.
Okay. All right. So I'll add that, and then Okay, Steve, and your number, if you want to use it, if you want to share it, Steve.
Yeah, I'll give the line that I use that's tied to the business, which is 561-841-4990. And I'm easily accessible at that number.
Okay. All right. So I just listed, I just added the phone numbers because I think that inch by inch, you know, it's a cinch. And as we continue to do just a little every week and make this investment, I'm reminded of investing in stock. You know, a lot of people think that it's a lot of money you put down at once, but it really is not. It's the small amount you invest. And I believe time has the same compound effect. And I believe that as we are committed to continue each week to invest a small amount of time over a long period of time, we don't know what God has in store, but I do believe that somebody will pick up the vision and continue what we're starting. And I'm trusting in God that that will happen because this is how we make change in our neighborhood. And I do believe that as we continue to do this, other people may decide to do the same thing for their neighborhood. But for right now, this is all we have. And I want to remind all of our listeners that this show is entitled hashtag I am Riviera Beach. That's IAMRIVIERABEACH because that's who we are. I am Riviera Beach. So if either one of you want to make some closing remarks, we can go ahead and wrap up until next time. And we'll start back again with episode number 3 next week.
Well, I want to make
go ahead, Mr. Calloway.
Well, it's very important that the listeners know that we're going to feed 6,005 on Thanksgiving Day. This is our 37th year that we have been feeding people all over Riviera and the neighboring cities. And the pandemic this year, we need more help with our hams and our honey baked hams and our turkeys and all the sides and the desserts. But most of all, if you want to volunteer, because we'll be dipping the food up, putting it in trays at 10:30 Thanksgiving morning at, the senior citizen, Lindsay Davis Senior Citizen Place right there on 28th Street and RA Avenue. And, of course, if you want to donate to the Youth Recreation Association to help purchase a lot of that supplies and paying people to smoke the turkey, not smoke them, fry the turkeys, and paying for those honey-baked hams, if you give $70, that'll buy a ham. Now, you can't go buy a ham of the type that we're getting for $70 because they're giving me a break.
Okay, how do they connect with the youth?
The youth recreation number is right there the same as what you have for me since I'm the athletic director for the last 7 years.
Okay, all right, perfect. So I'll add that number to this. And John Smith, thank you for participating with us. We'll make sure we promote this on the social media so people have a way to connect.
Beautiful.
Perfect. Okay, Steve.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, that just to tie into what you were saying earlier is that I still believe in that adage about each one reach one, each one teach one. So with the radio program, you never know, as you were saying, who's listening and whose lives are being touched. And I've accepted the fact that, hey, if you reach just one person and make a positive difference in their life, then the effort has been worth it. And so I've learned over the years, you know, that's literally what happens. Because sometimes, you know, even those of us who are trying to make a difference, sometimes it can be discouraging if you're trying to make a difference in the lives of masses of people, and then you just have to realize, you know what, you're touching someone's life, you know, and,
exactly.
and not to get
mm-hmm.
caught up in the numbers or anything, right? But just know you're making a positive difference.
Exactly. You know, God is so awesome. I'm just sitting here thinking about this one man that changed the lives of a whole city.
Oh, yeah.
With that rowing group and how each, you know, the one, you know, Dan, you've touched all of our lives. And there's so many who've done the same. You know, last time we talked about the guy, Tiny,
Tiny Ferguson.
So many kids, Tiny Ferguson, so many students. His goal was to just pay for one college student
mm-hmm.
a year and to go to Bethune, his alma mater. And
uh-huh.
I think so often we don't realize we don't really, and these are my closing comments, we oftentimes we don't really realize the impact one person has on each of our lives. And a couple of days ago, I was talking to a commissioner from the city, and I was sharing with him, you'll know who I'm talking about, the two of you, and I won't say his name, but I was saying to him how he reminded me of his grandfather. And his grandfather actually owned this facility, but I won't go into all of that. But as I thought about him, I mean, I was impacted by his grandfather because I lived across the street from the building. It used to be called a cotton club.
Yep.
And so, but then as I began to share with him, I shared with him this story, and I'll wrap up with this. I was telling him about my cousin, Jonathan Brooks, asked me to eulogize his dad, who was my cousin also. And I didn't really know his dad like that, even though he was my cousin. We lived right next door to each other. But I knew all the kids because I was a kid. And, you know, back in that day, kids and adults didn't have much to say or do with each other, right?
Yeah, that's true.
No, they didn't have much to do with each other because that's just the way we were brought up. You didn't get in grown folks' business as it was told. Anyway, but so he asked me, eulogize. I said, me? Eulogize somebody, say some words? I mean, I've never, you know, I'm not comfortable doing it. And he kept saying, he said, come on, cuz, come on, you can do it. You know, we can't think of anybody. We were talking to family, you know, and it would be good to have you say something. And I kept saying, me? I surrendered, and I decided, I said, yes. But this is what happened to me. When I literally sat down and I thought about this man, Jonathan Preacher Brooks, I started just going back into who he was, and I started doing the research on who was this man. I live right next door to him. How would it, you know, I live next door to him. So that meant that all my young years that this man is, you know, I'm watching him go to work. I'm watching him as his boys grow up, take them to work with him. And what did he do for a living? He was a contractor.
Yes, he was.
Yes, and all of a sudden as I did the research on him, and I started researching that he was the first inspector at the city. He was the first contractor. He was the first this, he was the first that. And all of a sudden, I just came emotional because my pen went to the paper, and this is what I wrote. I wrote, I am because he was.
Okay.
And then I just started listing all the things that I am because he was.
Uh-huh.
He was the first this. I'm the first black female contractor in the state of Florida. He was the first that. He was the first this, the first that. And then all of a sudden, it just all of a sudden, the words on the page just became life, my life. And so I share that story because we don't know whose lives we're going to impact with this program. And there's so many people who are from everywhere, but oftentimes we run away from who we are, where we're from, but who we are is where we're from. And so we're going to go ahead and wrap up. I think this is going to be a phenomenal experience. And as we continue to bring different people on, like us, from Riviera Beach, the stories will be, you know, they're informative, sometimes enlightening, sometimes humorous, thoughtful, and I think they're exciting over time as we continue to share, and also as we continue to share this podcast all over the world for us to continue to enhance the image of the city from which we you know, live, work, and play, and worship. So, guys, thank you both. This is going to be phenomenal.
You're welcome.
It's already
and you're doing a wonderful job as moderating this and getting all this information out. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
thank
everybody,
you.
Stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. And also, we're going to share this, like I said, and we'll also make sure we get that information about where people can donate for
Thanksgiving.
Yes,
what we may do I'll have Artie to give Steve the letter. We got a letter to go out on the Youth Recreation letterhead. And
okay.
We're asking people to donate, you know, the things that we need, like the sides, corn, string beans, and different things like that. If everybody have a Thanksgiving, they know what they eat. It's everything like that.
Right.
And
right. So,
I got,
Steve, Steve gets the letter. I'll get with you, Steve, offline. John Smith,
okay.
I know you're listening. Yeah, we'll get together and possibly do either a GoFundMe or a PayPal or something.
That'd be beautiful.
All over the
beautiful.
World can give and donate so we can help offset the expenses for
perfect.
The event so that we
okay.
can make sure that the people have a way to electronically just donate. And then
that'd be great.
Out whatever you want. Perfect. Okay. All right, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you,
thank you both. All right.
All right.
We'll see you next
Thank
week.
You.
Thank you.
Okay.
So much.
Bye-bye. Okay.